Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Let's turn our attention to the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Man, we're doing great. I have to imagine that y'all are flying real high right now as well. I was curious, is it excitement, relief? Like, what goes into your feelings once the Dak deal gets done?
Well, I think a little bit of everything. I mean, obviously, we understand these things take time, when you're doing deals like this. I mean, I think our players understand. You know, at the end of the day, this isn't about, costing us money, bottom line money on the business. This is us dividing up the salary cap. And whether it's two of our favorites, CD or Dak, I mean, it's not anything personal. It's just a business. And certainly we're doing everything we can to divide this thing up in the best way to put the best team together, put great players around Dak and CD. But at the end of the day, their goal, too, is to extract their value and what they're worth. And they're both team guys. I mean, I know all of them think they could have asked for more, done better, where they started. I mean, it's been easily, in this league for the next guy up to always get more. It's been easy for CD to ask for more than Jefferson. And so certainly Dak had a good argument that if he went to free agency, that no telling where that number would have ended up, and feels like, at the end of the day, and I certainly know he feels that way, that, he could have gotten more if he wanted to go be a free agent. But Dak wants to be a Dallas Cowboy. We want him to be the leader of this team and be the quarterback of this team. And we're able to get that accomplished. And then on top of all that, go on the road and win a big, big game there in Cleveland.
I will get to that game in just a moment, Stephen, but I'd, did it have to take until right before the game to get that contract done?
I mean, only the people involved know the dynamics, but yes, that's what it took.
Okay.
Now, speaking of the dynamics of that deal, inquiring minds would like to know, is it similar in terms of the last deal with there being a no trade clause and a no franchise clause?
Yes.
Okay.
This day and time, the dynamics of, franchise, if you're into a quarterback that's in a big, big deal, the fact that to franchise somebody, you got to give them a quarter more of their cap number. It's unrealistic to even think that you can franchise somebody because of how big the cap number is. And you got to carry it in a franchise. You got to carry the whole thing. You can't spread it out over the years. So it's really a non-issue once you get into these quarterbacks that are, which I think there's almost 20 of them now making $40 or more million in this league. And so it's a non-issue, the franchise part of it. And the trade deals, I think those things work themselves out. I mean, once, you know, players understand whether it's Matthew Stafford going to a different place, Aaron Rodgers going to a different place, both sides understand they want to, you know, when it's time.
I definitely understand that Dak wanted to be here. Y'all wanted him here. I'm curious, with the increase of void years, not just from the Cowboys, but teams in general across the NFL over the last several years, did that put you guys in a tough negotiating spot, knowing that if Dak did leave, you still would have been on the hook for $40 million for him next year with the cap?
Yeah, that's always part of the dynamic, but that's true with anybody who's paying a franchise quarterback and, you know, the $40-plus million. Everybody has that issue. You saw an extreme situation in Denver where Russell Wilson moved along from a lot of guarantees, and, you know, you go out there, and Denver's drafted a quarterback high, and they're competing with a, with a big cap number against Russell Wilson. So, you know, this is all part of the business. As I said, there's 20 more teams, paying $40-plus million. So the additional money that you pay up and above what the average is, everybody's having to deal with that now. And so that's part of it. I know certainly it's out there sometimes, you push money out. We're going through a situation now where we're signing CD, signing Dak. I know, some people have said, hey, they're not pushing things out. They're 30th in the league and cash spending. Well, right now we're projected to be number one by quite a bit in terms of cash spending for this year. So, you know, over a four-year period, the salary cap is what it is, and teams over between a 4 and a 5 year period all spend the same amount of cash.
Talk with Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan, KRLD-FM, your official home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers.
Now, Stephen, I'm kind of curious, did you want Aubrey to get a chance at a 71-yard field
yes.
goal yesterday?
I was, but at the same time, I've seen those games. Auburn, Alabama, when you're that field goals team's made up of a lot of big guys to keep people from blocking it. And when you go to cover somebody like Ward, if it doesn't quite get there and he comes out of the end zone, there's not a lot of great tacklers on that field. And we've all seen examples where people return a long field goal attempt the other way. So I was kind of, at the end of the day, the 71, 72, I was starting to get a little nervous of what might happen if it doesn't quite get there.
Also,
but I will say this, he's certainly capable of doing it. And obviously he nailed the 66, and he's done them before. And, he's very capable of making that kick.
And we're all rooting for that moment when he does get that chance. You got to be pretty happy. Your offseason acquisitions were really Mike Zimmer and Kendricks. Like, those were two big acquisitions for you. And the way game one went, Mike Zimmer was in his bag with his play calling, and Kendricks looked as good as we expected.
Well, it was obviously an important transition for us. Everybody around here, the building, the fans, huge fans of Dan Quinn. He obviously goes about it, you know, a little different way, and there's a lot of ways to win in this league, a lot of ways to play defense, a lot of ways to play offense. Etc. But, we just felt really good about Coach Zimmer. He's been in this building for years and years and years early on in our tenure. And, just felt a lot of confidence that he could come in here with this group of players. And, you know, really, as you said, we've added Kendricks. And then, between the draft and getting a guy back like Overshown, who was all over the place yesterday, the rookies showed up, but hats off to Nealon, to Carson, to Overshown. Those are guys we didn't have on our defense last year. And then you throw Kendricks in. We saw a lot of things, to feel good about. And I know, some people have other ideas of what you ought to be doing in the off season, but we felt good about what we accomplished in the off season, and really feel good about this football team.
The other thing, I went back to rewatch this morning just to kind of get my eyeballs on it, but good those work. Rookies, those you were just talking about the rookie offensive linemen, were you impressed with the way they held up against that Cleveland Browns front? What were you feeling after that game?
We all know they had one of the best defenses in the league and certainly gave us a big challenge yesterday. I mean, I know we were able to have a couple big drives early that really set the tone. Obviously, special teams showed up between the field goals, the accuracy there, and then Turpin's big return, and then the defense playing like they played. But hats off to those two offensive linemen. I mean, they're playing against what's one of the top groups in the league, certainly one of the best players in the league. Guyton, I think, got to see the most of, and I thought they all stepped up. I mean, hats off to our personnel department, Will McClay, and what he does with his group and how they communicate with the coaches, their dialogue between Coach Zim and what was going to change. I mean, see two big guys we acquired there late in training camp that really played huge roles for us in Phillips and Linville Joseph. So, player acquisition continues to go on, but I think we were able to put the right group together that really fits what Coach Zim does, and I feel good about what we're going to do there. And then, of course, offensively, what Mike and Coach Shoddy and that offensive group, Coach Solari, what they're doing with those young offensive linemen is outstanding as well.
Now, on the offensive front, we all, I'm sure you know this, had a hold-your-breath moment with Jake Ferguson. The reports are sprained MCL, and I know for Jordan Love, some people thought that would be 3 to 6 weeks. We're hearing maybe Ferguson is week to week. Is that the proper diagnosis, and how are we feeling about his availability in the next game, weeks, et cetera?
We'll get the final diagnosis, but I think it's more actually of a bone bruise, and so he'll actually have a chance. We all know Jake Ferguson's one of the toughest guys in our locker room. He's a football player, and I wouldn't put anything past him that, we could see him against the Saints. But we'll just see how this week progresses, and we'll get the final prognosis probably here in the next hour.
I assume you'll just call us back when that's the case, and you're like, hey, I really want to jump back on and do more of an interview.
Yeah, send me digits, and I'll send you a text.
Okay, no problem. Do you one last thing I was curious about Dak and the contract, not specifics, but he is very upfront about, look, success is defined by a Super Bowl. That's his own personal metric for what makes him a success or what makes this deal a success. Do you think that's a fair pressure to put on him and the team is like, hey, success is defined by Super Bowls?
Absolutely. I mean, I know Jerry and I feel that way. I think Mike McCarthy and his staff feel that way. I think Will McClay and his staff feel that way. Everybody's number one measurement, number one bar around here is winning a championship. That's what we're in the business for. And we understand we're held to that standard as well. I mean, our fan, we won 12 games 3 years in a row, and that's not good enough for us. And our fans are frustrated with us because we hadn't had success in the postseason. And we know until that happens, doesn't matter how well you play in the season. By the way, no one's assuming that we're going to just play this season and win 12 games. I mean, it's hard to win a football game in this league, and it'll be a big challenge to win 12 football games, much less get in the playoffs. And so, we got to go out week in and week out and focus on the week, on the moment. And right now we're looking toward the Saints. But, we all hold ourselves to a very high standard around here, which is the ultimate standard, winning a championship.
How do you feel about negotiating contracts during the season? Because I know CD's done, Dak's done, Micah is eligible for an extension. Will that be a discussion, or do you table all that during the season?
You know, right now it's certainly not anything that's on the table. I think, Micah made a conscientious decision that he thinks he can, put together even a better year. I think he got off to a great start yesterday.
Yeah.
In terms of what he did and what he did against the Browns, I think his play speaks louder than words. And, I think he expects to have a great year under Coach Zim, and then probably feel comfortable to talk about it then. But, each individual's different. Things, opportunities come, and when they are and the player feels good about something, then we certainly will move to do something. At the same time, sometimes players just aren't ready yet. They don't feel like their situation is in the right situation to start the process. And, this day and time, these players, they do well. It's changing even more so now. You got players coming in here who've made a lot of money in college.
Yeah.
And so they don't feel the pressure. They want to put some skins on the wall, which most of these guys, that's why they play in the NFL on Sundays because they're very skilled, they're very confident, they're very competitive, and feel like they're building a resume for their next contract. And everybody in this league knows if you get to that second contract, it's going to be it'll be pretty good. So I know that's what these guys, they obviously are competitors and want to win championships for their team. But, like any individual, they want to do well financially and they want to do well for their family.
Well, we appreciate the insight very much, especially after such a busy weekend and big victory. We will catch up with you again next Monday, sir.
Sounds great, guys. Great being on.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, a lot of interesting news from Stephen Jones right there about both Dak and Micah Parsons. Coming up next, we'll deconstruct some of that, but also Dallas Cowboys thank you notes. Who deserves a tip of the cap after the blowout victory over the Browns? Next right here in The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for Dallas Cowboys thank you notes. By the way, the YouTube is abuzz, and it has trickled over to the fan text as well. Stephen Jones said they are still waiting for the final determinations, but they also believe it is a bone bruise.
Oh!
So the person in the YouTube
Blake.
Who said, I don't care what Ian Rappaport or anything else, it is a bone bruise, not an MCL sprain. And you have Stephen Jones right there saying, I think that is correct.
All right, Blake, it was Blake A is what I'm going to call it in the YouTube chat. you get your flowers and you may be more famous now than Barry Fish. I just want to point that out. Barry Fish, I do see, is in the YouTube chat right now, so he knows. Everybody in the YouTube chat, please give your love to Blake Alexander. And everybody on the Twitch, y'all merge or something. Y'all have some fun together.
Okay.
Y'all are awesome.
And then to go along with that, couple of notes out of the Stephen Jones interview. He said the negotiations with Micah Parsons right now are not on the table.
Well, and it sounded like...
It was mutual?
It sounded like Micah was like, let me go earn my bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that line from Micah after the game, too, about Dak's contract. He's like, he didn't cheat the game. Because Dak does his work. You know, that I think we all know that about Dak Prescott. He does do his work. He is prepared. He's a good leader. We've always had questions about his accuracy in big moments.
Sure.
The ability to make the plays in the playoffs when it matters the most. Those things are real. And those things will live there with Dak until he removes it from his back. But I think that Mike is right on that. He does the right things, and that's why he got the contract that he got. And where the Cowboys are, they were in a tough situation. They had to do it. And here you are. There's nothing you can gripe about now. It's done. They're not going to change that from here on.
And to go along with it, Stephen also broke the news to us right here on 105.3 The Fan that Dak Prescott does have a no trade clause in this new deal, as well as a no franchise tag provision in this deal. Although he was quick to point out, he doesn't think the franchise tag deal is as big of a deal as it used to be because of the changes in the salary cap. But yeah, no trade clause, and there is a no trade clause for Dak in that deal. And then there is a no franchise tag provision in there for the new Dak deal. All right. Now, can you give me a little bit of that cut number three? Let's hear Ezekiel Elliott doing work.
Elliott's going to be in the end zone. Touchdown, Dallas.
It's time for Dallas Cowboys thank you notes. They crushed Cleveland. So who deserves your thank you note? Want to hear from the Franklin Frankly Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. Also the YouTube. Also the Twitch. Who gets your thank you note?
This is interesting because I think this is going to be very defense heavy today for thank you letters. And I will start with thank you to the rest of the defense. Here's why. Because Micah can be a force, but he doesn't have to be the only force on the field.
Okay, you said this to me before the show, and I thought it was as genius as I think, therefore I am.
Okay.
And so this will be the most important thing that people hear on the show today. Can you expand on that?
Okay. Look at the numbers from yesterday's game. Look at what Overshown's numbers were. I saw 11 tackles.
Yeah.
Somebody said 9, and I'm like, okay. Look at Eric Kendrick's numbers. Look at DeMarcus Lawrence's big-time sack and the pressure that he was able to get. The numbers across the board, everybody was eating yesterday. And it wasn't just, hey, it's on Micah to get pressure. Micah got pressure.
Sure.
But he doesn't have to be the only one that can make the plays happen. I think I feel more comfortable with the linebacker depth, not just the depth, but the starting linebacker group than I have in years. And that includes Micah being able to play. I think the last we saw was 9 snaps at linebacker yesterday. I think whenever they showed the graphic, it was like 32 at edge and 9 at linebacker. And I was like, oh man, this is nice. And then you go back and watch, like Brian Baldinger posted his post of Micah on every time he got pressure yesterday. And it was 12 pressures, 5 quarterback hits, something just crazy like that.
Unbelievable.
And he was, and Kevin, he's lined up everywhere. He's all over the field, just like we thought. Mike Zimmer actually did it. Instead of saying, you're going to go stand on one side and try and expose this one thing, he was like, why can't I expose this other person? Why can't I expose the center? And then after the game, Tom Brady did give him the LFG award. And then Tom Brady took a long time to explain what the award is. Tom wasn't great, all right? This is not the time. This is not the time or the place for that, though. But the one thing that you heard Micah say was, as he was like, Mike just keeps getting being creative and giving me new challenges. And that's what Micah needs. And that's what he's going to continue to every offseason. He did something else to make himself a little bit better. And you saw him be a force in game 1. It is 1 game alone, But it was in game one, he was a force, but the rest of the defense was the force with him. So I would like to thank the entire defense. Maybe it's Mike Zimmer that I'm giving that to, but I'm giving credit to the whole group because they were thumping yesterday.
A lot of people are with you from the 817. Thank you to the defense. Being fast, looking like smart football players, and dominating.
Dude, okay, how many times, if you go watch the film on this game, you are going to be watching linebackers moving in sync. Not just looking like they're just randomly picking gaps to get into. They're moving parallel or horizontal. They're moving along with the play. And then that's why the overshown play happened. Here you are, you got Vigil. Is it Vigil? He's sitting there working his way to the left. Deshaun Watson seeing that. And it looked like maybe Overshown was a spy on Deshaun Watson on that play because he never guarded the guy that came up in front of him. He had his eyes on Watson the whole time. And as soon as he broke, Overshown said, "I'm coming after you," and got him. But Kevin, go back and watch these linebackers. They were moving in sync throughout the entire game. And that's where the defensive front did their jobs very well to allow those linebackers to fill those gaps the proper way.
Now, I wanted to give a shout out to kind of Overshown and Jordan Lewis here. Shout out to open field tackling from this defense. Man, like I know tackling in general is obviously very, very, very important, but it's the open field tackles that feel like they can burn you. Because what do you hear for every player that's a threat with the ball? Get them in open space. And they're like, hey, they'll dispatch of their one-on-one matchup. I saw multiple open field tackles from Jordan Lewis, multiple open field tackles from Overshown that I thought were tremendous.
That slot defender spot, so difficult to play because the wide receivers that usually they put there are shifty, fast guys that can turn either direction and get there fast. And Jordan Lewis has that. But the other thing that Jordan Lewis realizes is you're playing in the middle of the field. You're playing where the tight ends are going to be. You're playing where the running backs are going to be. You can't Olay things. No. And Jordan Lewis is not the kind of guy that you've ever seen in his history to make business decisions. He puts his nose in there and makes the play. I love what I saw from him yesterday too, Kevin. And he's our guy. You know, like we had him out in Oxnard, had a great conversation with him. And I was very, very happy with the way that he played his game yesterday.
From the 214, this is kind of a roundabout Dallas Cowboys thank you note. Thank you to Cleveland for giving away all those draft picks and spending $250 million on some dude from Houston. Mm-hmm. That look, we just had Richard Sherman on and he said Deshaun Watson is a good friend of his and he can't quite figure out what's happened either.
From the 817, thank you, Kevontae Turpin, for finally showing me why you're on this team. Sheesh, that was fun to watch. Look, man, we've seen so many moments with Turpin where it almost happened.
Yeah.
Where he just turned this way and that's a touchdown. He finally got that big one. That was really nice to see. But, man, go back and look at that, too. Look at the blocking. Mukwamu, you got Deuce Vaughn. You got all these guys creating that space for him to get that. And then I love that Turpin, Kevin, in the middle of that play, has the mind to be telling guys, hey, don't worry. Hey, got that guy right there. Yeah. He's telling guys to go do that stuff.
Can I tell you, even while he was pointing that out, I thought he pointed out the right blocks. I still didn't think he was going to make it. Because I thought it was going to converge at him about the 7-ish yard line and not work out. But he got it. Or, you know what, maybe a defender gave up. I don't know. But the point is, he got the touchdown, and you're right. That was freaking awesome.
Somebody said, can you guys comment on how how good the Cowboys are at picking corners like Carson? You saw Diggs get another interception.
Yep.
B, what are the numbers for Amari Cooper? Was it two catches for 16 yards in this game?
And he did drop what would have been a touchdown pass when the game was over.
Yeah.
Like, make no mistake about it. Everyone was just going through the motions at that point.
But yeah, I mean, they held their best receiver, who everybody wishes was still here, I guess.
You know how many times they got targeted?
Nine.
And he had two catches.
That's impressive to me that group, that cornerback group and the safeties, that Malik Hooker was and Donovan Wilson, man, they put hits on people. And that's the fun part of football right there.
I want to give a thank you note to, ooh, can I have two thank
you
notes? I want to give a thank you note to Donovan Wilson and to DeMarcus Lawrence. All right. For two specific things that they did.
You willing to call him Tank again?
Hell yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's a good point, man. You know who calls him Tank this morning? Deshaun Watson, that's who. But Donovan Wilson, he annihilated Jerry Jeudy right before halftime. And if you look at that carryover, like, obviously, you were in a position where Cleveland, they had the ball. They were going to get the ball first to start the second half. You shut it down. And then on the first drive of the second half, DeMarcus Lawrence crushes that first Browns drive of the second half with a sack. And that has to be really, really psychologically debilitating when you're thinking. And even Tom Brady's like, they sure need to get something going here. And not only do they not, they go backwards in the first drive of the second half. That right there, the game was over.
I think Broaddus would like to thank the referees for proving him right. He said that he was concerned about the referees and them throwing some flags in that game.
And I think they did like have 50, a lot of flags.
But Kevin, did Ezekiel Elliott intentionally jump over the defender on that first play of the game to be like, guys, I am still nimble? Look, man, he wasn't great. In short yardage, he gets the touchdown. Yeah, I felt pretty good about that. You can see, he's not the shifty same guy that he used to be. But on that first play, it did look like he was trying to shut up all the haters out there by just saying, I'm going to hurdle this guy and make something happen.
It worked because I believe in this specific instance, I would be classified as a hater.
Okay, all right.
Mickey Spagnola agreed on Friday when it comes to the Ezekiel Elliott
deal. Mickey Spagnola poured himself a bourbon on that one. Yeah.
He did. I thought that was really impressive. Now, this is a side question. Can we cram a tiny NFL overreaction or reality into this real quick?
Sure.
Regardless of the outcome, if they leap over the person, overreaction or reality, you are impressed by the football player who can jump over another human.
Yes.
I realize sometimes they'll jump and then they'll get leveled by the next person, but I'm like, I don't know. It's still pretty cool that they jumped over that guy.
Once you have left your feet in like that, you put a lot of risk in there. You know, there's a lot of risk at play, but you do, if you get it and you land it, you're like, that was a huge moment. And the guy that got hurdled is sitting there going, oh man, I just saw the underside of your body. That is not good for me right now.
It's a great point.
Go ahead and mark that one for Friday. There, Chris Strong, really appreciate that.
Didn't anticipate.
I would also like to thank the rookies. After a pretty interesting offseason where we were kind of concerned, I was pretty happy with the first game for those two guys. Seemed like BB had pretty clean snaps throughout the game. There were multiple times I saw him get to the second level. I saw him be strong. And Kevin, here's the other thing too. On that play, I'm going to just compare this. On the play where Overshown sacks Deshaun Watson, go back and watch how much push the defensive line gets on the collapsing the pocket.
Yeah.
Because they push it back about 5 yards. And that's why Deshaun Watson had to bail, because his pocket was gone. Go back and look at how many times BB and that offensive line held up straight. And the Browns defensive line wasn't pushing them back. That's a positive right there. So I'm not saying they were perfect by any means, but it was good to see them handle that defensive front and that defensive unit the way that they did. Congratulations to the rookies there.
From the 817, they said their thank you note goes to Zeke. 10 carries for 40 yards, 4 yards per carry. And if he gives us that between 10 to 15 carries a game, that would be great. That was the exact number. I said 4 yards per carry is what we need. And he did score the touchdown. So
I'd like 4.5 or 5 or maybe 6.
I mean, sure.
Or CeeDee Lamb, I thought, had a 10 at one point, but I know that changed throughout the game.
It just maybe feels real unrealistic. But
okay,
yes,
fine.
I would agree with that. And you talked about it. Shout out to the defense. In the first half, the Browns went 0 for 6 on third down. Now, they only had one first down, but if you're shutting people out on third down, you're going to win that game. Either that or you're going up against the most efficient offense in history and they just convert every time on first or second down. But odds are far more likely that if you're shutting a team down like that on third down, you're probably winning that game.
Yeah, that's pretty nice to add that to it. Let's go ahead and give a thank you note also to Brandon Cooks.
Touchdown catch.
Yes, that touchdown. I know that text came in just a few minutes ago, but again, that pass from Dak Prescott, he puts it up in the air. It floats. Brandon Cooks makes a fantastic move.
He did.
On his break to lose the defender, be wide open, and get the Cowboys up early.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I thought that whole play was magical the way it went down. I say thank you to Dak for seeing it, knowing the blitz was coming, knowing one person was going to be uncovered, but also that they had the opportunity for Cooks to break off. And he fired it up there before you were sure. And then you saw the way it played out. It was perfect. Thank you note to Micah Parsons for ruining the final drive of the first quarter for Cleveland. He almost had a sack earlier in the drive, and then he got it on third down to force the punt. You know the play I'm talking about where he had Deshaun like almost wrapped up, but he was so excited that he kind of overshot him.
Yeah.
And then he got the sack after that to squash that drive.
And there were multiple times. I mean, he even said with his in Tom Brady's LFG discussion, which wasn't that great. He even said he's difficult to bring down, like you saw. And Kevin, that was one of the reasons that when he was in Houston, we were like, this dude's a magician. Every time you thought you had Deshaun Watson, he'd spin out of it or he'd find a way out of it and he'd be trying. And you were like, if he just had a line that could block for him, that's what you were always thinking. And then you understand his offensive line wasn't great yesterday. And I know a lot of people want to make comments about, oh yeah, there are tackles. I get it. They're not the premium tackles you want. They were there last year. They were starting for that team last year and they had a pretty good record. So, Deshaun Watson still elusive, but he was, I don't know if it was mental and he's like, these Cowboys won't leave me alone. I can't get my passes off. I don't know where it was, but he didn't look like he belonged on that field yesterday. Wow. Somebody literally just texted, Watson looked like he doesn't even belong on the field anymore.
He made a pass that was caught by CeeDee Lamb on the sideline. And CeeDee Lamb's like 8 yards off of the out-of-bounds line. CeeDee
Lamb's like, I'll catch anything, dude. Just throw my way.
For the 214, thank you to Brandon Aubrey for getting my hopes up for a 71-yard field goal attempt after crushing the 66-yard field goal. I was so hyped. We have long on this show been proponents of skip the Hail Mary, kick the super long field goal. And I realize they blew the whistle. You're about 1 second too late. But when Brandon Aubrey made that 66-yarder and the fans popped and they're like, oh, delay of game, I thought, give him another shot. And then Brady brought up, maybe you can get a hard count and get those 5 yards back. And I thought, well, if it gets back to 66 yards, you better kick that field goal again. I don't usually get this hyped up for the special teams aspect of it, but man, Brandon Aubrey is a show.
You know how Mike says that the Cardinals fans will cheer you if you make a good play?
Yes.
I felt that was the way the Browns were yesterday because their team was so bad. They were like, let's just cheer for good football things. And so I thought there was a little pop for Aubrey on that.
Yes.
But did you hear how I think Brady did say it, or maybe it was Burkhart, how sarcastic they were whenever he made his completion?
Let's talk about that because I think the broadcasters made an error on that.
Oh,
I'm really glad that you brought that up. They were too quick to call sarcastic applause. So if you watch that play, everybody think back. Maybe you're listening to it right here on 105 Through the Fan. Excellent decision as well. But you think back to that play, fans clap. But once the receiver gets up and comes back toward the field, then you really get the next wave of applause that felt sarcastic. It felt like they clapped because he made a play, but then after that, they really laid it on. And I felt like that was the sarcastic part of the applause. I definitely noticed that yesterday as well. And from the 817, honestly, I thought they got the delay of game on purpose so they could set the record at 71 yards. I would have held the snap back a yard, but you know, I hear what Steven's saying. You don't want to necessarily kick it from there. If you're ahead by 20 points, I want to see it. I don't care if it ends up getting returned for a touchdown Auburn style. I want to see Brandon Aubrey get an opportunity to have the field goal record this year. I do.
Okay, I do too, man. I don't want it to just be 1 yard more. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I want it to be 10 yards more.
I'm surprised you didn't say 3 yards
more. Okay, three's fine. I see what you're doing there, because 66 plus 3 is what Kevin's doing. You are such a teenager, dude. Come on.
I've read the Reddit. I understand the critiques of the show.
By the way, I did want to, Kevin, John Machota has tweeted some things regarding our interview with Stephen Jones. And that line of, only the people involved know the dynamics, but yes, that's what it took. It had to be. So I guess thank you to the Joneses for taking all this damn time to get that Dak contract signed and all taken care of, because Kevin, he didn't have time to like do too much, like go out and drink and celebrate or anything. He was like, well, I guess I got a game here in a little bit. He was getting some massages and then he got to go play his game.
Man.
He said he was getting some body work done and Zeke was in the room with him. So that's what I heard when I listened to the post game show right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the 214, where's AM on the FM? Fair question. Chris Strong is here right now. Medford will be back tomorrow. We'll have AM on the FM happening in this spot, but instead, you get Wanker of the Weekend. 877-881-1053. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend? And I didn't think that this would have to happen, but let's go to the Paralympics.
Oh, okay.
This story is very disappointing. All right, so One of the Paralympian events is they have a race for folks that are visually impaired.
Gotcha.
So Elena Congost briefly let go of her rope after her guide cramped up in the final stages of the race. No. So her guide was suffering from cramps. She let go of the rope, got third place in the bronze medal. And then the Paralympic Committee has stripped her of the third place bronze medal. I guess I could have just said bronze medal, because she let go of the rope out of concern for her guide. What are we doing?
Well, Kevin, is that the rule?
Oh, my God. Are you going to be big rule right here?
I'm not going to overreact and be all upset if the rule is the rule.
All right.
Because I...
No. Leave it there. Here's a quote from Congost. Now I want you to remember what you just said. Quote, I would like everyone to know that I have not been disqualified for cheating.
That's true.
But rather I've been disqualified for being a person.
Huh?
And for an instinct that comes to you when someone is falling and they need your support. Corey, your thoughts.
Did you stop, turn around and go help them? Or did you keep running?
Man.
So that human needed your support. Why didn't you go help him get him a banana or something? I'm dead serious on this. Kevin, this is Randy Gregory. I could be like, look, I don't think that pot in the league is that big of a deal. However, the rule is the rule. When my kid comes home and he gets, you know, in trouble for something in class, what's the rule? If the rule is that way, then let's argue the rule.
She tried to catch the person who was falling.
That's awesome. Hold on. She let go of the rope and still finished the race.
To catch the person who was falling. All right. You know what? I'm going to go back to Congost again for another quote, because I'm not winning Corey over
with
this.
How did she finish third also catching that
person? She's that good. Quote, it's not for cheating. It's not for dragging
down
an athlete.
And I love that.
I am left with nothing.
Oh,
I can't find any explanation for it, and it seems so unfair and so surreal, really. Corey, your thoughts?
Sorry about that. You're left with nothing?
Yeah. She went to this to win a medal.
Maybe another chance next time. Unless you can.
It's up to you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got... that's all I wanted. I wanted you
But
to,
if you were to step out of the lane, what's going to happen if you step out of the lane? You get a violation, right?
Don't you think there should be a rule, though? You step out of the lane because somebody was falling in another lane and you caught them?
I saw Cool Runnings. What happened? All those guys got disqualified.
All of that based on a
then
real...
They had to be bobsledders.
I know it's based on a real story. I don't know.
One dude tripped, and then Boris was really ticked off at him, and he never would let it go until they got in a fight in that country bar.
Okay.
It's such a good movie.
It is.
We all should watch it this weekend.
Okay, I'll see what I can
as
do.
As the cooler weather is getting here.
Now, is the Wanker of the Weekend DirecTV, or is it Disney? By the way, DirecTV... They continue to update their messaging on the channels that are blacked out. This morning, because I always check to see if ESPN and all that is back. This morning it said...
I didn't even notice we don't have ESPN on in here.
Yes.
On our DirecTV TVs.
This morning it said, Disney and ESPN are trying to prevent you from watching Monday Night Football by not negotiating in good faith. DirecTV has filed an FCC complaint accusing Disney of a bad faith negotiation and not actually trying to figure out a deal.
Oh, wow. Well, if they have proof of it, then you know that'll be helpful to them. Otherwise, it could be held up in litigation for quite some time.
Yeah.
Kevin, I will tell you this. I texted you guys about this. I went to cancel Fubo this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I am going to... I actually had YouTube TV all the way up to confirm. And then I went to Fubo and I started hitting cancel.
Yeah.
I'm canceling my subscription. And right when I got to the last one, they said, are you sure? And I was like, yep, I'm sure. Hit it. Next screen, we're going to knock that down to half price for you. And I was like, what did you just say? So thank you, Fubo, because you kept my business.
Something I want everyone...
And I didn't even have to talk to a real person.
Yes, which that's the biggest win. If you have your conviction that you're willing to leave that service, you can get a discount, especially if you talk to a person. Now, Hulu will do this too, and they're like, are you really sure you want to go? Why are all the reasons that you're going? And then they're like, what if we gave it to you for half price for a couple months? They don't want to lose your business on that automated system. But if you talk to a human, they will go out of their way not to lose your business. But you just need to believe that you're ready to leave. Because if they can sense that, like when we almost left DirecTV, we already had $40 off per month. And then they jacked up the prices again and like, nah, this time I'm really done. And they're like, no, hold on.
Are you sure?
Because they could tell I believed. And they're like, what if we give you an extra $30 off for an entire year, per month, for an entire year? And I was like, okay, deal.
From the 817, thanks, Corey. Fake canceling my Fubo today. I'm telling you.
It's not a bad idea.
If you don't, I think it's pro. I didn't have pro. Now, here's the deal, though. I will add this. As I looked at the itemized part of my bill, I saw a regional sports fee. And I was like, oh. And so it's like $44 for the quarter. Okay. And I was like, I don't want Bally anymore. Yeah. I'm moving on from that. Let me go cancel it. It wouldn't let me. It's included in the package that I have, so I have to have it. Yeah. So that's just the way it is.
That is part of the deal, unfortunately.
And now, as the 817 said, I can afford more tables. That's correct. I just need more space for the tables.
Now, this one hurts my feelings a little bit, mostly because it's probably fair. The wanker of the weekend from the 214 is Texas A&M. For somehow making their loss to Notre Dame look far worse than it was. They didn't make... I mean, it does look worse now.
Why?
It really, really does. Because Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, who had never had a win over a top 10 team in the history of their football program.
But what did A&M do?
I mean, they beat McNeese State, which is great. But the point is, they got worked at home by a team and then lost to Northern Illinois.
Dude, that Notre Dame team, they... I did get red zone included also. I still have red zone. That Notre Dame team was ready. Did you see their coach before that game going after A&M fans? He wanted his team to know. Kevin, I'm sorry that happened. He also probably let them down the next week going, hey, Northern Illinois is just a chump that we're going out there against. Instead of bringing the same type of energy he brought to the run out there.
Really wish that he would have said A&M is a chump team that we get to play and that we're going to bury Northern Illinois because maybe things could have been different, but they most definitely were not different. Now, this is a tough one, but I think it's fair. Are the Carolina Panthers the wanker of the weekend for really asserting their dominance as the worst team in the league?
They are terrible. They are the worst thing I've ever seen play football.
Oh.
And the Giants. Listen, man.
That's a good point.
There were just so many times, and now I don't think it's... I know Mike's had the take on his height and everything. He does not look good at all. He doesn't look like he knows what he's supposed to do whenever the ball's in his hand, snapped to him. And then he doesn't look like his throws are confident. Their defense looks bad. Their punting looks bad. Their kicking, just all of it is bad. They don't have the right talent, and it's going to take a lot more for that team to say, we're going to actually be a better team. It looks poor, man. And now I'm very curious what the Saints actually are. If it was the Saints are that good and that's why, or if they were like, this opponent is just garbage. And because the Saints coming, you know, the matchup you have this week, that's going to be a tough one. We'll get to it later on in the week, but the Panthers just looked bad, man.
From the 916, I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you. You're right. I called Comcast and tried to renegotiate my monthly rate. They said no. I canceled, and then they offered $10 a month, but I told off a month. But then I told them to stuff it because I had already switched, so you should have offered that to Stark. Fact! This is at least my second, if not third, go around with DirecTV. One of the times I canceled, I had the courage of my convictions and I was like, nope, cancel. And then like 2 weeks after that, I got a phone call. It's like, hey, we're going to offer you all that stuff that you already wanted. And I was like, yo, guess what?
But no,
I'm not sitting around with no TV for 2 weeks. I've moved on with my life, and honey, so should you.
Yeah.
And so that's how we ended that conversation.
Honey,
I didn't really say that.
So who'd you say that to?
Some guy.
Oh,
we're the KNC masterpiece.
What's more offensive? Sweetheart or baby doll? Like if you're going to
say, if you're not like in a relationship with that person,
let's say you're at work one day and somebody brings you the stack of papers and you're like, look, sweetheart, or look, baby doll. Which one's more offensive?
My initial thought is sweetheart, but they both feel very problematic and you should not say them. Even I feel like if you're married, I don't know, you should say that.
I asked Adrienne and she was like, ew, gross, both of them. And I was like, no, you have to pick one. And she said, I won't. They're both the worst. So don't say them, guys.
I love Adrienne, but I don't like that answer. It's a hypothetical question. Have fun with the game.
Yeah.
I don't like either option. That's the point of most hypothetical questions. The outcome is either great for both or terrible for both. Play along and have fun. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We will get into some awkward audio, and Eric Chiafalo will join us next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.